Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. It's opening day in baseball. Tony, do you even remember the first baseball game you attended?
Tony Kornheiser, absolutely. Ty Cobb went 4 for 5, and he spiked 2 people stealing bases. Yeah, sure.
Tony, mine goes back almost that far, relatively speaking. My father took me to a White Sox-Dodgers World Series game in 1959. I was like 10 months old. I didn't even know what the heck was going on. The first game I remember, Mickey Mantle hit a home run in Old Comiskey Park.
My dad took me to the Polo Grounds to see Willie Mays before they moved.
That's great. I have very vague memories.
Very vague, yeah. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. We will get to the Roy Williams retirement announcement in a moment, but we begin today with the blockbuster report that new Jaguars coach Urban Meyer will not use the #1 overall pick on Trevor Lawrence, but will instead take Ohio State quarterback Justin Fields. Meyer's told coaches he was blown away by Fields' pro day and by the strong recommendation from Meyer's former top assistant, Ryan Day. Plus, Meyer's plans to sign Alex Smith, who he coached in college, to mentor Fields and back him up at quarterback. Wilbon, what do you make of Meyer passing on Trevor Lawrence?
Well, first of all, you know how much I hate pro days. And the fact that a pro day would figure this heavily in a decision this massive, this major, you know, that just makes me angry. Let me say this. I told you off camera a few days earlier that Trevor Lawrence saying he was going to watch the draft at home, I thought something was weird about that, so maybe he's upset here. And I thought that Urban Meyer saying this is the way we're leaning, that's not a commitment. That's not saying we're going to take this guy and have his jersey made and put it on him right there at the draft.
It's obviously very surprising because Trevor Lawrence has been said since the day he got into college at Clemson that he's a once-in-a-generational quarterback. To me, this feels, Mike, like a college move, not a pro move, a college move where you rely on the loyalty of your former assistant who's now coaching Ohio State, and you want to do something good for Ohio State. I don't think it's a pro move. I will say this, that when you bring in Alex Smith, that's very smart. Alex Smith did a great job in mentoring Patrick Mahomes at Kansas City, knowing Mahomes is going to take his job. So if he's there with Fields, I think he can teach him a lot. He also proved in Washington that he can still win games. And his one loss record over time is really good. And I know what you say about a pro day, but let me give you one other thing here. All right, obviously Jacksonville stinks and they don't have a good offensive line. The fact that Fields can go 4-4-4 in the 40, he may have to run. I mean, I can sort of see it. How's that work for
RG3 when he had to run?
He got hurt.
You want to Fields run is more when solid. You want to run. Yeah, but the point is you put yourself in harm's way much more often. Trevor Lawrence is big, fast, strong, too. He's going to be in harm's way a little too often. It sounds to me as if you are a little skeptical still about Urban Meyer.
I've always been skeptical about him in the pros, and I know you think he can do it right away, but this is a return to college. This is a loyalty thing. I coached there. Ryan Day took my place. It's my school. By the way, do you want to tell them or should I tell them?
We'll both tell them. April Fools.
But let me just say this.
April Fools, you people. How many did we get?
I believe this story is reasonable. I believe this could happen. I do. Okay.
Well, I'll tell you what. There was another story earlier today that was an April Fool's story making the rounds, and it was about the Chicago Bears actually getting a quarterback from Seattle. And for a minute, Tony, somebody got me. And then I just said, wait a minute. It just can't be. It would have happened already. And, of course, I was a fool who was fooled. Now, this next story is very real. North Carolina coach Roy Williams announced his retirement this afternoon after 18 seasons coaching the Tar Heels. Williams won 3 national titles while at Chapel Hill in his 33 years coaching North Carolina and Kansas. He won 903 games, made the tournament 30 times, including 9 Final Fours. Tony, what do you make of old Roy's decision, his career, and where this leaves North Carolina?
So I am surprised by this, and I understand that Roy Williams says he doesn't think he can do it anymore. But he's in a league where 2 guys are older than him. Jim Boeheim and Mike Krzyzewski are older than Roy is.
74,
so he's not old Roy You're not old Roy in that particular conference. I didn't sense any clamor to get rid of him. I believe None. This is his decision. I mean, his legacy, if we want to use that word, he's got three national titles, which is one more than Dean. All right, he's got 900 wins. He's got 9 Final Fours. You know, you can live with that. Anybody can live with that.
Can live with it.
In terms of where it leaves North Carolina, it leaves them just where they were 24 hours ago at the top of the heap. North Carolina is a beautiful school with almost a 70-year tradition of being great in basketball, dating back to 1957 when they had an undefeated national champion. I don't think it hurts North Carolina at all.
Not at all. Now, you could look back in 10 years if things go spectacularly downward and say, well, we were wrong. But right now, when you're forecasting this, look, Roy Williams, one of the great coaches of all time. He is fourth in wins right now, fourth. And you look up and you say, wow, did people at Kansas really, some of them, want to get rid of him to let him go to North Carolina and win 3 national championships? He was in position where he might have won a couple of others. He lost to worthy opponents. He coached, you know, other than Kentucky and Duke and those particular two coaches, Tony Cal and Coach K, and when it came to sending guys to the NBA, old Roy was great at that. But let me just go to something real quick. When they named the replacement, not even replacement, when they named the successor to old Roy, who's been on this show, by the way, as much as most any college basketball coach, and we are grateful for that, and we both like and respect Roy Williams a ton. But, Tony, Hubert Davis had better be the coach they announced in Chapel Hill. Had better be. He left a television career where he was spectacular on this side of the fence, and he went down and he assisted, and he loved it there. He loves it there. Hubert Davis better be the coach.
I'll tell you something. If Larry Brown were 10 years younger, Larry Brown should be the coach.
3 years younger, Larry might want it.
They stay in-house, so Hubert Davis makes sense. Maybe Jerry Stackhouse down the road makes sense. Maybe Wes Miller makes sense. I think one of the things they should do, honestly, is I think they should call Michael Jordan and Mitch Kupchak and get their advice on this as well. And we turn now to Gino Auriemma as he gets ready for his 13th Final Four in a row. He has the AP Player of the Year, Paige Beckers, who is the first freshman to ever win that honor. Auriemma said yesterday that Beckers should be allowed to enter the WNBA draft after this, her freshman season. And an authority no less than Diana Taurasi said Beckers would be the number one overall pick. Well, the WNBA basically doesn't allow anyone in until they're 22 years old. Should they go one and done like the NBA?
Tony, I don't think so. And this story is very complex and there's so many layers to it. I don't think so. Look, what just happened with the NCAA is embarrassing because they were too stupid as an organization to understand that you have to treat all of the people under your umbrella, under your watch, equally. And they didn't do that. It doesn't mean that the men's game and the women's game and the games that come after they leave college are the same. And it doesn't mean they need to be treated in sort of exact lockstep. Now, if the union and ownership, the league, want to do that, I wouldn't argue against it. But, Tony, I think this is much more complex. You mentioned Diana Taurasi by name just now. They would need a panel of people that include the greatest women's basketball players of all time, then and now. And I would like to know what they think about this, because the carrot that dangles in front of the men is very different than the one that's just starting to dangle in front of the women. And the women also have something else, Tony. Overseas basketball for women's professional players is thriving, and women will make more money there in most cases than they will in the WNBA, except for the biggest stars. So there's so many layers here.
So let's get to that. My position is very clear on these sorts of things. I believe it's restraint of trade if you don't let anybody come into the pros whenever they want to. I believe a rule like one and done is bad for college basketball and bad for people. And I believe that a rule that says you have to be 22 years old, it should be declared illegal. But let's move on. As you're saying, the marketplaces are very different. The most money at the moment that I believe a WNBA player can make is $215,000, may go up to $500,000 soon. The average salary is $100,000. The average salary for men is $7 million, all right? So it's not the same marketplace on any level. Someone like Paige Beckers may, if the Supreme Court rules that you can trade on your own name and your own likeness. It is possible that women players can make more money staying in college, building a brand, and then going to the WNBA. Because as you say, the reason they don't play full time there is because you make more money elsewhere. I believe in the total equality of men and women as athletes. But right. I think the marketplaces are different than this.
And that's why I want to hear from Cheryl Miller, from Cheryl Swoops, from Candace Parker. I want to hear from, you know, Annie Drysdale. I want to hear from the greatest women of all time, many of whom did not have this opportunity or choice. I want to hear what they think, what their perspective is. And that should carry the day,
Gino.
Should carry the day.
It's going to help. It makes Gino look great because he's
Gino's
advocating
for
his players. Makes
Gino's
him look
be
great.
Fine,
let's
no
take a break.
What.
Coming up, Tony La Russa manages his first game since 2011 tonight. Would you rather have him or the man he faces, Joe Maddon?
And the Mets are giving Frankie Lindor another $341 million. But will Juan Soto, your boy, be worth even more?
I'm going to tell you something, that if the Supreme Court rules this way, more people will stay in school because they can make money immediately than they couldn't make otherwise.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's time for toss-up, where two men enter and two men leave having played toss-up. What's first?
Toss-up. They open against each other tonight. Which manager would you rather have, Tony La Russa or Joe Maddon?
I'm very comfortable because I'm older than one and younger than another. La Russa's 76. Maddon is 67. Mike, they both have World Series titles. La Russa has three. Maddon has one. They've both been manager of the year. La Russa four times, Maddon three times. Their winning percentage is remarkably similar. La Russa 536 and Maddon 537. La Russa has the third most wins in history, 2,728. And Connie Mack and John McGraw not walking through that door anytime soon. So it's La Russa. We've both had meals with them. They're charming and they're smart. If I had to pick one, I would pick La Russa only on this, because La Russa invented something, the closer, and Maddon has only invented the pajama party. Your head must be exploding because they both have Chicago ties.
Yeah, Maddon invented the brunch at Wrigley, though. You got it. You know, I know that's a little bit, you know, west of your interest, Tony, but the brunch at Wrigley with the players is pretty cool. I'm going to go with Maddon, only for this reason, Tony. Much is made of La Russa's time away from the game, which is 9 years, which is only half of I'm drawing a blank on the football coach that went back to St. Louis and won a Super Bowl.
Dick Vermeil was away
17 years. I'm going to go with Maddon, who has won just 5 years ago and seems to really, right. I mentioned that brunch, connect with players no matter the age. So yeah, I can't wait to see what La Russa is going to do on the South Side, but I'm going to go with Joe Maddon.
They worked together last year with the Angels. They're big pals. Like them both a lot. What's next?
Toss up. They hopefully open against each other this weekend. More valuable player, Francisco Lindor or Juan Soto?
Yeah, the coronavirus has stopped the Nats from playing for a while. I think most people would say Lindor because he plays an up-the-middle position. Catcher, shortstop, center field are always regarded as the most valuable players on teams. Lindor's got a great record out there. He's got gold gloves. He steals bases. He's got terrific power for a shortstop. The Mets just gave him $341 million. Okay, so he's really good. But I'm a Nats fan. I'm going to say Soto. And I'm going to say Soto because of something he does that very few people do. He's a power hitter and a contact hitter. He led the National League last year. Batting average, slugging percentage, and on-base percentage. He's being compared to Ted Williams. Let me repeat that. Ted Williams, and he's 22. Mike, the next contract he signs is going to be for $400 million.
It just won't be with the Nationals. They waved goodbye to Harper. They waved goodbye to him.
Don't say that to
me. Let me just say this. Lindor's got nice numbers, and I think he'll be an MVP maybe. Soto, I guess you can break through this early in your career. But Lindor's numbers, they're nice, but they remind me of Ryan Sandberg. When we're talking the numbers for your boy, Tony, Mr. Knack. Yeah. Who you guys are probably renting. The comparison isn't Ryan Sandberg, it's Ted Williams. When you go Williams with a comparison, that is a drop the bat, drop the mic moment. Flip the bat if you want. So I'm going to say Soto too, even though I think Lindor this year, if the pressure of New York doesn't get to him, he led Cleveland to a World Series. So is it going to be him now and then Soto? Soto's going to take off.
The Nats are going to open a wallet. They lost Harper. They lost Rendon. They're going to keep this guy. Let's take one last break. Coming up is throwing someone's helmet at them worse than throwing a punch.
And is Chris Beard making the right decision to leave Texas Tech? Yeah, Tony.
They're already talking about re-signing him. They kept Strasburg.
Re-signing Harper, and they didn't do it.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Happy time, people, and happy opening day. Happy 56th birthday, Mark Jackson. Jackson was the prototypical New York City guard, a slick ball handler who thought pass first, shoot second. Jackson was on the St. John's team that went to the Final Four in 1985 with Chris Mullin and Bill Wennington. Played 7 years for his hometown Knicks. He was Rookie of the Year in 1988. All told, Jackson played 17 NBA seasons. It may surprise you to know that Mark Jackson is fourth all-time in assists, all-time. Every other player in the top 10 is either in the Hall of Fame or going to be in, like Chris Paul and LeBron James. Jackson was head coach of the Golden State Warriors for 3 years, but was let go just before the Warriors became a championship team under Steve Kerr. Now we are happy to watch Jackson, his former coach Jeff Van Gundy, and Mike Breen call NBA games on this network. And I'm curious, Wilbon, if you want to slam Jackson because he's from I-95.
Never. I love him. Quick story. When I was covering the Big East for the Washington Post, the greatest sports editor of all time, George Solomon, our former boss, he called me in his office and he said, these game stories out of Madison Square Garden, the Big East, they're great. But why are you quoting this guy, Mark Jackson, all the time? Chris Mullin's on that team. I quoted Chris, too. But Mark Jackson, Tony, I got that right. He was a sophomore in college and you could project and see the intellect and the ability to run a team and the ability to run the floor and see it and be a great point guard. Put him in the Hall of Fame, he should already be there. Love Mark Jackson.
Happy anniversary, Villanova. On this day 36 years ago, number 8 seed Villanova shocked number 1 seed Georgetown and the entire basketball world by beating the Hoyas 66-64 and winning the national championship that most everyone had conceded to Patrick Ewing. The Wildcats shot a Final Four record 22 of 28 for the game, 9 of 10 in the second half. It is hard to beat a team that doesn't miss. Nobody on Villanova had Ewing's star power, but Ed Pinckney, Dwayne McLean, Gary McLean, Harold Presley, and Harold Jensen, they played the game of their lives and denied Ewing and Georgetown their second straight national championship. The Big East coaches in and around this period of time, John Thompson at Georgetown, Rolly Massimino at Villanova, Louis Karnisek at St. John's, Rick Pitino at Providence, Gary Williams at Boston College, Jim Boeheim at Syracuse, P.J. Carlissimo at Seton Hall, Jim Calhoun at UConn were as good as it gets ever.
Yeah, I know this honoring of Villanova will make my man Rob Wilson very happy. Tony, this is the thing that stands out to me to this day from that game, and I was at courtside. A team shot 90% in the second half, and Georgetown lost by two. I mean, that you can watch that game. The further we get away from it, the greater those performances and the greater those kids seem to me.
Happy trails to the Buffalo Sabres winless streak. It ended last night at 18 straight games as the Sabres beat the Flyers 6-1, avenging the game they gagged away in overtime to Philadelphia on Monday. It was the Sabres' first win since February 23rd and the first for interim coach Don Granato, who took over when Ralph Kruger was canned when the streak reached 12. And a bonus happy trails to Nathan MacKinnon. The Avalanche star got a 10-minute misconduct penalty last night and found out today he was fined $5,000 for what he did late in last night's 9-3 win over Arizona. MacKinnon and Connor Garland of Arizona got into it, and MacKinnon made the critical mistake of ripping off Garland's helmet and tossing it at him. You can punch a guy in the face, but you cannot throw apparel. You cannot.
Some violence is okay, Tony, apparently, and other... Not so much.
Can I go back to Villanova and Georgetown for a second with you?
Of course.
That list of coaches. Did any conference have a list of coaches like
well,
that?
Well, you know some of the ACC brethren, Junior Feinstein, we'll get a call later saying, you guys are always pumping up the Big East. I am completely with you. As great as the ACC has been for a longer period of time, that period in the Big East, incomparable to me. And to
six
you.
Of those guys. Six of those guys won national championships. Quick to the big finish. Texas Let's is talk. Hiring Texas Tech coach Chris Beard. Good fit?
He went to Texas, Tony. The important part here is he was a student manager under Tommy Penders. What a path. Cade Cunningham is leaving Oklahoma State for the NBA draft. Does that make sense to you?
If there wasn't a one and done, he would have left the NBA draft last year. Everybody understood this. He was 1 year and that's it. Miguel Cabrera hit the first homer of the season, but then slid into second because he didn't see it through the snow. Your thoughts?
You know how baseball does these stupid things every year? You got stadiums in southern and western places and domes. Use them. Get out of Cleveland, Detroit, and Chicago in April. So stupid. James Harden is out, but LaMarcus Aldridge is available for Brooklyn at Charlotte tonight. Will they still be okay, the Nets?
They're a great team, but Charlotte's pretty good. And, you know, Durant is out too. Last one, Andre Drummond stubbed a toe, lost a toenail, and limped off last night. Is that a big deal?
How many people are going to go out for the Lakers, Tony? I hope he comes back quickly. They just got him. It was his debut.
Out of time. Trying to better the next time, and I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, Knuckleheads. Get the podcast. And shout out to Michelle Wee. Shot a 2-under in her first major in a couple of years after taking time off having a child. Michelle Wee, glad to see you back.
Alex Podlegar, shout out. PTI.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.